Welcome to the Lost Dot Podcast and the 10th edition of the Transcontinental Race, supported by our race partners, Farah Cycling, Pedaled, Apadura, Komoot, and Peak Design. Day 14 at TCR number 10, and the buzz at the finish line is beginning to grow as more and more riders complete their adventure at this year's race. After 2 weeks of riding across Europe, there are plenty of tales to tell, of challenges overcome and triumphs in the face of adversity. TCR is a race that keeps you on your toes. You never know what might happen next. It also generates a lot of curiosity in the people you meet along the way. Pat Coyle, Cap 35.
Tell us again about what happened to you in Belgium.
So it was first night. I was cycling down the road about 3 a.m. and just saw a blue light come over my shoulder. It was a police car, stopped us. And she got out of the car and said, what's wrong? She said, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm on a bike race to Istanbul. And she said, oh, okay, we've seen lots of other cyclists out this evening. And that was it.
Just wondered where you were going.
Adrian Lichty finished his race a couple of days ago, but was only able to reach Istanbul after some very literal phone hacking.
Yeah, I was in Austria trying to pay with my phone, and the only way to pay was to log in to my Revolut app and to have access to the front camera and what was inside the front camera. So it was impossible to pay for me. So I broke the screen of my phone with a knife. It was before the Großglockner. I was waiting the opening of the Großglockner, and I opened. I broke the window of my phone, but the humidity was inside the lens. So, yeah. And then I almost called you to scratch because I didn't have money to continue. So the only way was to call friend or family and to do a Western Union, for example, and to continue as a DQ. And then I found a solution to put some money from another account to the Revolut without the camera. And it was okay.
So you actually had to use a knife to hack open your phone screen to try and get the water out of the camera.
Exactly, yeah.
If it's not tech the riders have to deal with, it's mechanical issues. Tonelli Milikoski, Cap 87.
Tell me what's going on with your front wheel.
1 centimeter of bearing play, almost. Maybe the parkour was a little bit too tough for that wheel.
And did you have any other mechanical problems?
Actually, no. Just a few times oil on the chain and pumped the tires a couple of times. But otherwise, pretty well.
And the parkour might have been too tough for your bearings, but they obviously weren't too tough for you because you got here. Did you have a good race?
Yeah, it was really nice, but yeah. Plenty of work to do on the parkour. Not so easy, but, but yeah, it was nice.
Sami Martiskainen, Cap 63, is safely into the finish in Istanbul and is now waiting for his friend, Kim Häkkinen, Cap 204.
You know him from back home?
Yeah.
Whereabouts are you based?
Helsinki, Finland.
Cool. And did you meet him whilst racing, or?
Oh, I've known him for 15 years, so he's a good friend of mine.
Great. And you're looking forward to welcoming him into the finish line, watching him crack open that first beer?
Yeah, there will be a cold beer for him, for sure, at the finish line. that's promised.
Tell me this again, you did a ride in Finland once.
Yeah, we did a ride in Finland once called Ruska. It's in September, across the Finland, from southern Finland to Lapland. And I finished like half a day earlier than him. So we shared a hotel room together. And he finished after midnight. So there was a sauna in our room. So I set up a sauna for him. There was a cold beer in the fridge for him waiting. So he was quite pleased about it. So that's what friends are for.
That's a good friend. But he's not going to need the sauna in Istanbul.
No. Hopefully not.
Just the cold beer.
Yeah, that'll do the trick.
Another pair rides in to finish their race. Jim Vicious and Machiel Telling, Caps 309 A and B.
So when we saw you on the road, we noticed that you were on a pair of matching bikes, not just the same model, but the same colour. Same bags on there as well?
No,
no, different bags. Okay. Did you choose the bikes together? Was it a coincidence? Tell me about that.
If only we had a Canyon sponsorship deal, that would be that would have been great. No, I bought this bike I think a year ago for a backpacking tour in France, and I convinced Machiel to buy the same one, and coincidentally bought the same color. So coincidence, but not really.
Yeah, it is the best color, and it's also a very nice bike. So I was just, he convinced me to buy that one. I was still thinking about buying a faster model, but he convinced me in 2 months of hammering down that that I shouldn't buy the faster model because it wouldn't make sense to be faster than he was. So, so I bought the same model.
He was already faster than I am. So on a faster bike, it would be even more unmatched.
Rodolphe Ronteau, Cap 314B, has just completed his TCR journey, riding as a pair with Alan Burke. Rodolphe has a tattoo to commemorate a particularly challenging part of his adventure on last year's race.
Is it of a control point?
Yes, it was a third control point.
Third control point.
But it was difficult for me, so that's why I decided to tattoo it.
That's awesome. Which TCR was it from?
Nine.
Number,
when Fiona won the...
Fiona won?
Yeah.
Ah, okay. That's awesome. And you've just completed TCR number 10?
Yeah.
Yeah?
With my buddy.
Ah, with your friend?
Yeah.
Nice.
We was in pair.
Ah, wicked. And how did it go?
It was incredible. Best experience in life.
Yeah? Did you have the same adversity that you had doing... the control point 3 a few years ago?
Maybe on CP2. It was the same difficult.
And will you be getting a tattoo of CP2?
I don't know. Maybe. We get a lot of tattoos, so maybe there is a place for it.
That's awesome. And I have to say, I also love the... looks like a little bear riding a bicycle.
It's my dog.
It's your dog.
Yeah,
oh, it's a dog riding a bicycle.
My little dog.
Ah, and it looks like he's coasting. Yeah. He's like free riding down. It's a very nice tattoo. I like it. That's awesome. Oh, man. So was this your first ultra together? Or have you done many?
No, we worked together maybe 10 years.
Wow.
10 years. We were French soldiers.
Ah, French soldiers, cool.
Yeah, in the mountain. So we know each other for a long time, so...
Tim Zimmer, Cap 191.
How was your ride?
Good. Excellent, actually. I kind of jinxed it on day 10 when I came to Turkey. I spoke to a mate on WhatsApp, and he asked me whether I had had any major incidents apart from dropping my phone at CP1, and it was broken. I had to buy a new one in Ljubljana, but nothing else. And then I literally sent him a message saying I'm kind of like the least interesting rider from a race reporter's perspective, because neither am I at the pointy end of things. I'm not missing the time cuts. I didn't even have a single puncture. Like 20 minutes later, I punctured.
And calmer, I believe.
Like a sidewall cut that wouldn't seal with the sealant, and then I put an inner tube in that ripped. Then I realized the tubes that I brought were for 28 mil tires, and I've fit 32s, and they were like the ultralight things that I've never tried before. And I thought, no, this is race over just because I brought the wrong tubes. And then got one tube to work, and it was then at, I don't know, like 35 psi, so way too low, but I could ride until to Çanakkale, and then I had to wait for the bike shop to open the next day, so I kind of lost it like a half a day. But other than that, it was brilliant. Nothing, no incidents. I had fun on the bike. I enjoyed the race. I was doing way better than I thought I would. So,
Timo Rusterberg, Cap 127.
When you have the time, it's like more. Yeah, you can absorb the experience. if you're like in full race mode, you're like, okay, I only go to the gas station, go on the streets, and that's all. And so overall for me, I'm happy. So it's like, I'm honest, it's like, was a nice experience, but also like a very competitive guy. So it's like, I optimized all the things on my bike and everything. And then you see like, okay, it's nearly nothing what you have done out of it. But yeah, the checkpoints, the people are nice. So, and also like here in Istanbul, you have a quite good feeling when you arrive the city, you're like, okay, it's like 4,000 kilometers. It's good work. And yes, so overall good experience, and maybe coming back next year with a different strategy.
When the riders reach the finish line in Istanbul, they can either get there by road or choose to end their TCR experience by climbing a short but steep set of stairs. Christopher Merkin, Cap 146.
You're right, it would be rude not to walk up a set of stairs for reaching a race
exactly.
like this, right?
It kind of feels like it feels the right way to end a race, isn't it? Walking.
How were the stairs? A nice surprise?
I knew about them, but they were pleasantly steep and longer than I was expecting, but you know, I got the bike on, so that's all right.
And how are you feeling? You've just finished TCR.
Very relieved. it's been a long few days, a few weeks, and the city traffic with all of the holiday people on the coast has been crazy.
Did you enjoy the gravel parkours? How did that go down?
CP2 that was Sarajevo, I lost 2 days due to punches. It was horrific. So I got one puncture at the checkpoint itself, fixed that, carried on. Got a second puncture at the next on the optional gravel one, changed that tube. Third one went. Then I tried a patch of tube, didn't really patch. The patches wouldn't stick. Then tried zip tying the tube, that didn't work. Then tried patching it again, but wrapping it in tape, and that got me to the next town. Then that failed. And then I bought some glue and tried to glue some inner tube onto the tube. That failed. Then I stayed in the hotel, and then when I got in the morning and said, how do I get to Sarajevo? They went, no car, no taxi, no bus. Roads that way. So then I had another go at gluing the tube. That got me 6k. Then I had to walk for 13k because there was no other option left. Got to a cafe, and then I managed to get the cafe owner to try and drive me to Sarajevo. Couldn't buy any inner tubes on a Sunday. So then we bought some patch kits, paired the patches. That then got me 25k, and that failed again. And then eventually got to Sarajevo and got a thing on Monday. So first thing I got a tube on Monday, so then I carried on. But basically I lost 2 days.
At 4:45 p.m, Anna Kalkfist, Cap 223, rolls into Istanbul to become the third fastest woman in the solo category at this year's TCR.
It's very colourful.
It's so colourful. It's like hardly
seen a few things
together, but it's seen a few things. It's not been washed for many, many days now. No, it feels good. It feels really good. I feel like I could have pushed harder. Could have done more. Could have slept less. Could have. I overslept this morning by like several hours. It's like, yeah, I'll do the parkour before the heat of the day. Like, easy. Yeah, under 2 weeks.
Amazing.
Super happy with that.
Was that what you were aiming for?
I was just aiming to get to the finish, hopefully by the cutoff.
Bram van Engelen, Cap 273, is another rider to finish their TCR adventure. His mum Ellen and girlfriend Dominique were there to welcome him.
How does it feel? Bram has just arrived and completed his TCR.
Really great. We were so nervous that if he could make it, he had his difficulties on the way. But now he's there. I'm so proud.
Yeah, you must be. And yes. I mean, how was it watching his dot? Were you tracking him the whole way?
We arrived Thursday in Istanbul, and at home also. We didn't do anything, just watching him.
Amazing. And has he always wanted to do the TCR?
I really don't know. He rang about half a year ago. I would love to do it. So.
Yeah, I think just a few months before the day he had
application.
Yeah.
He was like, I want to do it.
He did an ultra, 1,000 kilometers, Utrecht Ultra.
A
year ago, I guess. And a Mittelgebirge Classic in May. but that was preparation for this. So this was main goal, that was sub goal.
Yeah, an unbelievable goal, and yes, he's just done it. Phenomenal.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So we are proud, eh?
Yeah,
we're proud about it.
Ah. Very proud. Yes. I'm glad that he's
finished.
That is done.
Yeah. Yeah. For him and for us also.
It's common for riders to cross paths from day to day when they are riding at a similar pace and taking a similar route. At this year's TCR, Bram formed a friendly race rivalry with Cap 35, Pat Coyle.
Here, this guy here is a legend. He completely different tactic. I get up early and I ride till late. Every day at about 5-6 o'clock, he'd come whizzing past with a big smile on his face, on the bars, and disappear off into the distance. Now I'd see him the same time the next day.
We've met for many days, but only like for a brief time on the road while passing each other. And
how did that like little interaction, that little bit of sort of friendly acknowledgement, tiny bit of friendly rivalry, how did it make you feel when you were out there?
Oh, it's good. It's good to know there's another dot that you've got, that you kind of, that you're actually racing against, because within the race there's races. So everyone's racing something, you know. And so it was nice to have to see that where he was and think, I've just got to keep going, keep pushing, don't let him catch you. And then, you know, that kind of thing. Then thinking, I've got to be up early because I've got to get up the road before him, you know.
How about you, Bram?
Yeah, it is. It's nice to share your, or to share the same goal. Sometimes it can be quite hard. And if you have the same... same objective, then it's quite nice to have a little chat about it and know that they're the same people on the way and doing the same thing as you do, feel the same, suffer the same.
It's quite good as well to look at the different technique of doing it, because I'm just, you know, just slow and we'll just keep going, whereas you would race it and then have a good sleep and then get up and go. So two completely different ways of doing it.
This year's race was the second TCR for Radislav Rogos, Cap 282.
Okay, so you did TCR number 7.
Yeah, I compare with 2019, with TCR 7, and I thought it will be easier this year. I'm a better rider, but, you know, it's generally was very hard, harder than 5 years ago. Maybe this is some... I have 5 years more. I am older, but I don't know. No. It was tough. I had a lot of flats before the ferry, and finally from ferry to Kanakale, I did the 40 kilometers ride with the paper inside the tire. I bought a paper because I haven't got any tubes. Finally, I bought in Kanakale. Yeah, another 40.
This was pretty impressive for a paper stuffed tire.
Yeah, I can show you.
Yeah, we want to see a picture. This sounds phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're just having a look at his phone.
I've heard of grass in the past, but pieces
of
paper.
Yeah.
Here it is. Oh, I see. Yeah, you've got tissue paper.
Yeah.
And you've stuffed that into your...
Yeah.
Oh, here we go.
This is rolling on the paper, but after 20 kilometers, this paper compressed.
Yeah.
You know? So my rim destroyed the tire. I had to bike the tire, new tire too.
Expensive paper.
Yeah.
After Mark Kowalski's finish line marriage proposal yesterday morning, race reporter Andrew Phillips spoke to Sherry Cardona about getting engaged to her Pérez partner, Gerion Tewes, at last year's race.
So guys, we had a finish line proposal this year, you were just telling us about your experience in Thessaloniki last year at the end of TCR number 9. Could you just run through again what happened?
Well, Gerion wanted to propose at the finish line, but I was really tired and falling asleep. So he kept trying to propose in a romantic way, but at the end it was the hotel room because I was falling asleep. He carried the ring glued to his credit card across the race, so it was more romantic.
I had a spare ring that was like not the actual engagement ring, because yeah, you never know, with TCI you lose stuff. And so I duct taped like a spare ring and yeah, carried it across.
You managed more than a zip tie then?
Yeah, it was a nice ring. Yeah.
And have you got married since, or are you still waiting?
No, we got married 3 months ago. Yeah.
With more than 300 riders setting off from Roubaix at this year's race, it's only at the finish line where we start to learn about some of the personal stories that have unfolded out on the road. Ryan Clamp, Cap 38, has made it to the finish line despite battling a lung infection for several days.
Hey Ryan, tell me what happened, why you got a bit of a husky voice?
I think it's the dust in Kosovo gave me a lung infection, so dealing with that was pretty tough. Got some antibiotics in North Macedonia, and then from there it's cleared up a little bit since then, which is good.
This is you sounding good.
This is me sounding excellent. I sounded like a Dalek 2 days ago. 3 days ago I couldn't even talk or make any noises.
It's really confusing because like you haven't exactly been speaking to many people, I imagine.
And that's the difficulty as well, is like I don't do any talking during the day except for to say card or not cash. So whenever people do talk to me, my voice isn't even warm, so I've got nothing for them.
Okay, so apart from the dodgy voice and the dust, how has your race been?
A race has been really enjoyable. It's definitely a cathartic experience being out by yourself at night in arduous conditions. But that being said, it's almost a shared sense of suffering that I feel like I've got now with the other individuals of the Transcontinental Cycling Race, which is good to have. And like that being said, it's a fairly unique experience to be able to say I've finished it. It's, I guess, maybe 1,500 people in the world have been able to say that they've finished it. So
it's very impressive.
Yeah, and like not to be, it's not about finishing or not finishing. If people weren't successful, they've got their own stories and their own reasons. And the fact they turned up the start line is impressive in and of itself. But I'm very pleased that I managed to finish and overcome, the lung infection, knees, and everything else the race has to chuck at you. So, yeah.
Yeah, I love that. You should be so proud. Honestly, it's amazing.
Chas Christensen, Cap 169, has been drawing small icons on his helmet as each day passes. After rolling in to complete his race, he's able to mark one last milestone.
So out of all these little icons on your helmet, what's been the most poignant for you?
Well, I mean this one, because this is the last entry in the log.
Where's this helmet going to go afterwards?
Same place the one from 2018 went, on a wall smelling horrible, unwashed and slowly growing. It's like a science experiment. But it's cool because, I mean, you get to like, I can still look at the one from 2018 and see, I led the one in 2018. I put all the cities. There you go, all the way around. Look at that.
That's awesome.
Day one, all the way around to day 14. Pretty cool.
How does that make you feel?
Good, actually. This is one of those little like talisman things that I feel like every day you get done and you're like, I'm gonna write it on the helmet, and that's like a big part of finishing the day and like completing it. And like Some days I only did 218K, I think, was my shortest day. You can see when you start to crack and when you feel really good. So it's kind of cool because you can, like, track. I can track and see that and be like, oh, wow. You know, so, yeah, it's cool.
With Control Point 4 in Çanakkale closed, there are plenty of riders now pushing hard to make it to Istanbul. Their aim is to get there in time for the finishers party on Tuesday evening, but also to complete their race inside the final cutoff for entry into the general classification. Join us in our next episode to hear more rider stories as the end of this year's transcontinental race edges ever closer. You can read daily race reports from the Road on the Lost website and get regular updates across all our social media channels. thanks to our race partners, Farah Cycling, Pedaled, Apidura, Komoot, and Peak Design.